Today's episode is with Jen Klein Clark. That's a tough one. It seems so simple with those one syllable names, but it's every time I say it, it's a tongue twister. So yes, Jen is so enthusiastic and so such a great vibe. I loved talking to her. We have very similar paths because one of the things that she sent me before we actually set up the interview was exactly what I did wrong in the first half of my life. And that's we kind of ignored our gut and we just did what we thought we should do. So Jen, she said she chose the wrong path over and over. And she comes from a family of doctors. And when you come from a family of doctors, what's expected of you? To be a doctor. And if you're not a doctor, you should be a lawyer. So Jen became a lawyer. She went to law school, even though she knew that that's not what she wanted to do, but she did it to please her parents. And when you do something to please your parents, it's generally the wrong reason to do it. And it might feel good for a hot minute, but you know, a few years down the line, you're not happy and you're like, what's wrong? What's wrong with me? So she's such a great example of how that happened, but how she finally, right before she was in her 50s, she decided to pivot. And she sold a very successful business, but by that time she had her own business. It was kind of following her path, but she wanted to impact more people and do what she really loved, which is coaching. So she was a lawyer and then she moved to nonprofits and then she moved and bought an advertising business that was failing and she knocked it out of the park. And then she decided to become a full-time coach. And so she is now designing a business and helping other people design their dream businesses, but dream businesses built from passion. And so, yeah, she does it in an interesting way, which we'll get into. She focuses on something that a lot of people don't focus on. And so I think it makes her stand out and makes her very special. And like I said, her passion comes through. So she also has a really good story about her becoming a mom, which we didn't have time to talk about, but I might have her back and we'll talk about that. So with no further ado, here is Jen Klein Clark.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And today I have with me Jen Klein Clark. Jen Klein Clark. One syllable names. That's really great. I love that. And I didn't realize how much of a tongue twister it is, but Jen is someone who I'm really excited to talk to her because she and I have a parallel in terms of really kind of suppressing what we were, our gut and what we were passionate about. I had a gut that I was doing the wrong thing, but I didn't know what my passion was. So therefore I never did it. But we're going to talk about how her long and winding road and how it led her to where she is today. And she's 51. So she's perfect person for my podcast. So welcome to the program, Jen.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laurie. This is perfect. And I did just get to listen to a bunch of your podcast and, I love the alignment of profit too. Like you are shifting your whole business because of profit. And I think that that's key too, but we'll come back to that at the, towards the
end. Yeah. So Jen, I love it when people come up with new names for things or words to describe things. I'm a real wordy. And so one of the things I do is I help people with quizzes and with identity quizzes. And so I love coming up with the different names for the identities. But yeah, so profit engineer, she calls herself, but and also a profit coach, because she helps, because she knows how to engineer the profit portion of it. But she makes sure and ensures that people are making profit off of their passion. And yes. So that's the big thing. So she has a personal approach to profit. And, you know, she's in this coaching mastermind. That's how I met her, that I'm in. And she, nobody else is doing this in terms of, everybody's like, oh, let's increase your income, let's make more revenue. But, and it's so important that it's something that you're super, super passionate about, because otherwise you're not going to do the things that you need to do to push it to the next level. So yeah. So why don't you, you were talking before I hit record that you had the successful advertising business. Yeah. And you had this gut, this calling. And so the pandemic kind of sent you to kind of pursue your real passion. So can you talk about like what was going on and what happened there?
Goodness. Okay. Well, so I had to say, I just wrote down profit off your passion, because that is so much of what I talk about. So I had an advertising business that I started, or I didn't start. I bought it. And so I kind of continued. I got this skeletal, very sick advertising business, and I was able to grow it. I don't even remember the percentage anymore, but 10 times at least. It was really sick by the time that I got it. And it's because we adopted our son, and I just got him, and I'd had an awesome national position where I traveled all the time, but I wanted to be home and be with him. And so that was a great business to do for that. And so he helped me raise the business as he grew up. And I loved it. I was very good at helping people figure out what their business was at its core, right? So there's, for 10 different plumbers, each one of them is going to deliver the business differently. And helping you figure out how you deliver that service is what's going to help.
And so business. But it was focused on advertising your business.
It was advertising.
That. Yeah, that's local. So great. Yeah.
It was a local advertising business here in the Bucks County. So I'm just outside Philadelphia area. And I loved it. It helped me grow community. It helped me. I traveled so much that I didn't know my own area. So I got to know. And then I became like the lady that everybody went to when they were looking for the next whatever, carpet cleaner or plumber or whatever the service was, because I knew everybody. So I knew a guy for whatever the thing was. And I loved all of it. But over time, I came to realize that people advertised with me. Once people came in to advertise with me, they stayed for years. And I found that they stayed not because of the advertising, but because they got to talk with me and that I got to help them with their business. And that I was always bringing them back to, you're leaving money on the table. There's things that you could be doing that could make this a better business. And they were like, Jen, let's go for coffee and talk about the ad, because they knew that I could not help them, right? And that we ended up doing all these great things.
And it probably got them. I think sometimes people just think about the making money aspect, you know, and they might even pick things because they think this is going to be a big money maker. But when you're able to sit down and talk to them about why are you doing this business? What is it you love about this business? And how can you convey that to the people that you work with and, you know, and share that and kind of a, you know, a story type maybe ad? I mean, that probably got them thinking a whole different way about their business.
It really does. You know, so I would go to a bunch of different networking. I've built my business over coffee. And I would love when I would have a group where there was like six different realtors that would get up and they would talk. And I was like, look at this, guys. Like, she's the one who you want to go to when you have to, you know, sell the house that needs help. And she's the one that you would only want to buy a house through her, right? And everybody has their unique skill set. And just coming out and saying, I'm a realtor too, it just falls flat. So really helping you figure out what are the things that make you special. Then everybody's like, oh, you need to sell your house and you haven't been able to sell it for 100 days. You got to talk to Diane. Like every, you know, and then it helps people, that light bulb go off when they hear those words that.
Yeah. And you know what else it does? It makes them think about who they really want to work with. Cause certain people, yeah. You know, like there can be 10 realtors and you have the position where if you're helping them with advertising and they come in and they're kind of this, you know, young couple with a baby. There's a realtor that's you know, that's in sweet. And she's got a baby and oh my God, they'd be so like great together. I had a realtor and we became such good friends. We worked together for like 25 years. We bought and sold like, you know, I sometimes wonder, did I buy and sell houses just because I wanted to hang out with her? Cause you know, in between we would see each other occasionally, but not as much. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's really pairing those people up. One funny thing just made me think of it is one of my one-on-one clients right now, she's a Beachbody coach. And I used to be a Beachbody coach. I kind of like, that was my training wheels on like dabbling into business. And I'm so excited working with her because, you know, it's in like a direct marketing world. It's such a cookie cutter, you know, and people are doing, and you know, I can see you helping these kind of people too, because you're just like, they give you the like images to share, but it's just like somebody else's image. It's like, what do you specifically offer? So she's creating a free course program training. That's like stuff that she knows about. And she's got a background in HR. She's got all this great stuff to help people with. And then like, you know, and people will want that. She'll meet a lot of people, but then there's going to be the people that, by the way, I'm also like really want to, I'm not healthy and I want to get healthy. And if you can do that and help me, it just takes the relationship to a deeper level with that kind of thing. So it's just like, you know, it's so true that people don't see themselves and how unique they are. And it's not just about what they their business, but it's about like who they are. And do you talk to people about, like, do you get into like, who are you really? I mean, you obviously talk about their values and what they love, but like who they are at the core and like who they want to have as who their ideal clients. I'm sure you get into that.
Sure. Yeah. I do not follow a coaching formula. So I don't have a standard set of questions that I ask at any time. I'm just really very good at hearing where the person is and asking the questions that are hidden in between what they're saying and just kind of giving them back like, okay, so here's what I'm hearing, what you just said. They're like, oh my gosh, what does that mean? You know, it sends them down this, I want you to get into action. I want you to be able to do something with what you just revealed, you know? But yeah, so it's certainly about getting to know yourself better, really understanding that unique brilliance that you have and how to harness it and profit off of it, if that's where you are. But mostly who I talk to are entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And do you find yourself working with people who are older? Because the other thing which I think as an older person has to offer is not just their, you know, on the job experience, but their lived experience and what they've learned. And so, yeah, I don't know if you help, you know, I would imagine you as an being a specialist in advertising, you probably, it's not age related, but for me, like so many people that I help, it's like they get to an age and they think that they don't have value when the opposite is true. So yeah, and maybe you found yourself there. Like when you transitioned, so you were telling me that you were about age 48 when the pandemic hit. And so that kind of, did you take that as a sign from the universe? Or did you just like, was your business kind of faltering and it kind of drove you there? Or because you said that this was kind of something in you that you wanted to do for a while.
Yeah, you know, I bought that business at that time because it really just made sense for my family. I wanted to be able to be home. I wanted to not have to be traveling. And it had a good consistent revenue. So I loved that. But it also was kind of capped. There wasn't a way to really blow up in a way that I knew that I was capable of doing. And so I just felt I'd kind of like done all the things that I could do with that model. I could change the model and I could bring in other people in, but it's not what I wanted to do. And so I just knew that it was time to be able to sell it and then use that nut to be able to grow into the next. And I had been coaching for a coach where I ran masterminds. And so I loved that work and I wanted to be able to do that, you know, on a bigger scale. So both those things happened.
And did your son grow up at this point? Like, how?
He's 12 now. So
he's 12. Okay.
And then we like every aspect of my life, I feel like I've created. So we couldn't have children, we couldn't stay pregnant. Then we finally decided to adopt. And then 4 years later, out of the blue, we get this perfectly healthy pregnancy. That is our daughter, who's now 8.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
My husband has a friend and they adopted twins, and she found out she was pregnant with twins after she got them. So they have like 4 boys within 12 months of age.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Well, these guys they're 4 years apart. So yeah. Like, we never expected that she was going to exist. And then even when I was pregnant, I was like, look, this is exactly what I said to my husband. I said, look, I'm pregnant, which means in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be sick and pissed and you're going to clean it up. And that was all we said about it.
And then it was like, we need to have another episode of just that story, because that's people would really resonate with that story.
It really was. And then we ended up writing a children's book. Like, it's really very sweet.
Oh, but what'd you do before the advertising business?
My goodness. Well, so, I mean, part of all of this is because I've always been the black sheep, you know, is such a core piece of who I am. So my father's a doctor. My mother ran his practice. My brother and my sister, both older, both doctors, brilliant in each of their own ways. And I was raised that you go to medical school. If you don't go to medical school, you go to law school. Those were the options. And so I did go to law school because that was the choice. And then I didn't even practice. And then I ended up working in nonprofits for many years. And that's when I had that corporate position where I traveled all over the country. I worked for Big Brothers Big Sisters at the national level for many years, and I loved that organization. I loved what we did together. But that entire time I was trying to have a child, and so it worked out perfectly that we had chosen the adoption path, and we had finally gotten word 6 years later that our son was coming, and so leaving was just a really perfect timing to be able to be home and to not be traveling all over the place.
Yeah. So if I'm doing the math, you know, you were like 43 when your daughter was born.
I was 42.
Okay.
Yeah. 42. Just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she was January and I would have turned 43.
Yeah. Gosh.
So yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy. All of it happened. We were late to life parents for sure. So it's kind of funny that, you know, you think of yourself as the grandma, like we are so far away from grandma's age, which I can't even imagine. But
a lot of people nowadays. I mean, I'm kind of like exception because I was 23 when I had my first. So
that's not a lot. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but then I have lots of friends who are my age who have kids in college or post-college, you know, so the spectrum is large of what kids, you know, what families look like nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that you sent in, you know, I have people fill out the application. So it can kind of tell me a lot about them and what ideas for conversation. And one of the things I like that you said is you said you wanted to discuss not your average choices. And so I love that the way you chose those words, because you called yourself a black sheep. So I imagine that's kind of what, you know, you're saying not your average, because what you are the exception to the rule. And so your parents and your siblings, you know, when here comes this like little sister and she's like a little crazy, you know, she's not your average sister. So how did that make you feel?
Yeah. You know, and so when you were talking about this, choosing from your gut versus logic, like my family is like, they're super smart, super logical. I'm right there on that logic piece too. And I've always been so proud of just like pushing through and making decisions and running with it. But when I look back at my life, like a lot of them were based on gut, you know, to go to law school and then not practice, to go to the nonprofit and have this, you know, very different career, quasi using the law, and then to leave that to create, build this business and then to sell it when you're, none of that was expected. All of them, I always thought, you know, I didn't feel like that was the best choice for me. I did choose from the gut, but I also felt like I was always choosing wrong.
And I think that's interesting.
That black sheep, like I couldn't quite do what was expected of me. You know, can't she just play along and play by the rules? And I just never could. And really the transformation that I think that's happened is much more recent, where I finally gave up. I was like, they were not bad choices. They were not wrong. They were awesome, really. Like I created every aspect of my life in the most beautiful way. I'm so happy for that. And I'm so glad that I can serve people to also live a life of design.
Yeah, this is such a good example for listeners on how limiting belief, this is a limiting belief, right? It's how we can have these limiting beliefs that come from childhood that aren't necessarily from bad parenting. They're from we want to please our parents, and we then start developing these reasons or these beliefs that limit us and don't serve us. And so I'm sure there was a lot of, you know, beating yourself up and a lot of maybe not even living your true authentic self as a result of just these own internal beliefs, which you kind of, there was nothing really anybody said. It's kind of like their model of the world just didn't fit in with how you were supposed to show up in the world. And so instead of like, which most of us, we just want to fit in, you know, we want to fit in. And so you're too afraid to do that. And so you just make all these silly beliefs to keep you in a place where you're not going to shine your brightest, you are. And so I'm glad.
And I think we think we want to fit in, but really we want to tap into our potential, you know? And so when I look at my parents created that framework of you go to medical school, if not go to law school, that came because they came from abject poverty. You know, like they had nothing and totally got themselves and brought everybody with them because my dad was uber smart and did awesome in the medical world. And so in their mind, they're like, that is the path, guys. Come follow us. We found it. And it works, right?
For
like,
everyone, yeah.
Right, you know, and so I totally get that was like that was their framework. But really, they also chose to not follow along because their following along was just to keep living that lifestyle where like they were victims, right? And my parents I definitely was raised, you're not a victim, you are in control of your life. And so I took that kind of meta framework and I just applied it in a way that nobody else expected, right? But when I look at it, like I'm very much my parents' child, you know, like I did create all of this, much like they did. I just didn't follow the rules as specifically as they would have liked.
You know? Yeah. And they don't know different, right? So they, and in the world that you're going to go and navigate in, that it speaks more to who you are, is so unfamiliar to them. It's just really hard for them to accept. I remember with my mom, I wanted to be a social worker and I was going to do that in college. And she said, oh, no, you'll never make any money doing that. Well, both my parents were teachers. So I don't know, the social working and teaching would be too different. And so I always had that imprinted in my brain. And so what I did is I changed majors to be a teacher. And then I started taking education classes and I ended up quitting college because I hated school so much. And I ended up being a substitute teacher for a while. And I was like, I do not want to do this. That was probably the best thing I ever did, was to find that out because I was like, I need to go back to school. I need to finish my degree, blah, blah, blah. All these things, like you're a failure because you didn't go back to school. But I couldn't find that thing that lit me up. I wasn't teaching. And so that's what they identified with. My sister became a teacher. So of course I should become a teacher, right? But it's funny. It's almost like I became a teacher to adults. But I did that. And in my corporate job, I started doing training and teaching. And I love adults. I don't like, you know, seventh grade English is what I was teaching for.
Yeah. I think a lot of us probably would not like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, So say more about how people get clarity, because I think that's one thing when I have people and I do like a free training and I have people like, what's your number one desire from this training? So many people come into it. And of course, I'm like helping people find more purpose in their second half, but they want clarity and they don't know where to go to get that.
Well, so the first thing that I typically help people with is really getting clear on what the vision is. Because I think, you know, and so this kind of also talks about that idea of the revenue. One of my first coaches, along with so many other people, talked about this idea of revenue. And I came in with an advertising business that was already at 100K, right? So I was trying to figure out how to get more out of there. And so the idea that if you're at 100K, then you're living a great life. And I was like, no, this is an expensive business that, you know, I need to figure out how to do. So I already had this tension with the idea of revenue. And so I believe that it's more important to start with what's your vision of what the business is going to fund for you? What do you want to get out of this life? And the more clarity you can give to that picture, grand scheme, 10 years from now, whatever, but, you know, be able to work that back down to, I like 90 days, you know, to be able to say 90 days from now, what's the thing that you want that you don't currently have?
And let me just explain for the listeners, because I think they might not know what you're talking about with the revenue. And I just want to make it real clear. Because what Jen's saying is making 100K, and we all think, because we're all used to the traditional jobs, I'm making $100,000 a year. Well, you're not paying for all the business expenses when you're an employee. But when you're a business owner, you're paying for all of these expenses. So 100K, so if somebody's speaking revenue, you can actually you can be losing money. You can be making 100K, but your expenses are 125K. So Jen is focused on the profit. And so like having a profitable business, and what do you, you know, what's the vision, not only for your business, but what's the vision for your profit? Because a lot of people who go and make good money and make a profitable business, they will open a nonprofit, or they'll pay for their mother or father's house, you know, or that they couldn't do before. Right. But it's like, there's so many things. So what's your big vision for your company, probably, or for, you know, like your life, and how you're gonna, you know, how that business is gonna fund the life you want, right?
Thank you for that. That's so good to just go back and really get clear on what that is. Yeah, so many businesses are taught to go after some revenue number. But the revenue doesn't, typically is all revenue is meant to do, in like definition wise, is pay your business expenses. And none of us are in business to just pay for the bare essentials. Like, that's really just a nice hobby, you know? And so getting into a place of like, how much profit, what kind of life do I want to have? And how much is that going to cost me, right? So kind of reverse engineer from the vision, price tag that vision, and say, okay, that means I need to have X number of dollars. And for some, that might be going to, you know, vacation in Bali. But a lot of people, it might be, you know, being able to help out your family, or to renovate that kitchen, or whatever the thing is. It has to be personal to you. And I think by making it personal, one, it becomes a much more clear number, like 10K. So many coaches talk about like the 10K months, and it's arbitrary. Like, it has no relevance to your actual life. But when you do that work, you might realize, I really just need 6K in profit every month and I'll be good. And some people might be, you know, 56K, whatever, but it helps you get clear about what that is. So clarity, I think, is huge. And then the other piece is that you're so much more motivated to do the work, because I'm going to get to renovate that kitchen. One of my clients is just, I want to be able to go out to eat every couple, you know, weeks and not worry about it, right? Like it wasn't a crazy number. So yeah.
Do you work more with people who already have businesses and they just want to increase their profits, or people who, you know, they're maybe working, but they have a desire to have some extra income and they are thinking about having a job that they create and maybe start as a side thing and then make it full-time at some point?
If you're just starting, I work with you kind of more one-on-one on a much smaller scale so that it's more affordable. Most of my clients are typically in business for several years and have hit some kind of income ceiling and they can't figure out how to break through to that next level. And so when I was a coach for The Coach, I can remember I was at a conference one day and there was a whole bunch of like brilliant business leaders right there, all like making serious transformations for their people. And none of them were financially stable. And I was like, what is going on here that these brilliant people can't figure it out? It's because we were going after the wrong goal. That revenue goal is just putting you on a hamster wheel that you won't be able to get off because you'll just create more expenses in order to do that thing. And it just becomes a bigger monster as opposed to a better target of like, what do I want to fund in my life? Okay, how are we going to afford it?
Yeah, I think some people too, they get in the business maybe for the love of it. And then they just like, don't even, they're like, you know, covering their eyes when it comes to like how much it's costing them. So clarity comes with not just like what the vision is, but clarity on what does it cost you? Like write down what it costs you, because if you don't know that, then you don't know what your profit, you know, what's that, when's that profit going to come, that where's that, you know, I get to this level and then from there up is profit. So yeah, that's really, really awesome.
I think that's another version of what happens, that kind of like, I don't even want to deal with it. Or that they think that somehow I'm not in it for the money. I'm here to, you know, help my people, but we're in it to create some kind of lifestyle, right? And it doesn't have to be grandiose, and getting clear about what that is, like just knowing I want to be able to live and keep it bare essential, but that's going to cost me $3,000 a month. You know, well, then you can base your business off that. So it just helps you account for whatever that lifestyle is, so that your business is working in service to you rather than you working for your business.
Yeah. So now I consider you still being like a mom because you've got kids that, you know, one's probably in middle school now, but elementary school, definitely. So how are you managing? So how can you explain to somebody who's listening who might be like, how does she do it? You know, she's got a business and she's got kids, and that, you know, I talk a lot to empty nesters who are struggling with the leaving, but you know, the kids leaving. But I have a lot of listeners who also have kids and they're trying to start something that, you know, they're anticipating the empty nest. They're the really smart ones. They didn't do what I should have done, is start thinking about it before they left. But yeah. So what advice can you give to those people? How do you juggle?
So as we're talking right now, I don't know if you can hear my son screaming because he's playing Gorilla Tag on VR upstairs and my daughter is getting ready to have a play date come over. So like we are in the thick of it for sure. And I think the solution has been in creating systems that are really personal to us. Like what's going to make sense right here, right now. And so, I mean, I'm definitely a systems person. Like that's why I was able to sell the business, was because I just systematized the heck out of it. So when I sold it, everything, they just got this machine, right? And you just had to go and do the things that we were told. And so with the family, you know, the pandemic was such a great example of that. Like my husband works, we have a split level house. So my husband works on the top level. I work in the basement and, you know, and then the kids are gone all day. That worked fairly well. And then all of a sudden the kids were home all the time. And so we had to say, well, how is this going to work? We still need to be able to get the work done. And so the first solution that worked for a while was to say, we're going to make this camp. We're going to bring camp to the children. And so we hired camp counselors, you know, on different days. They had different like concepts that they were playing with. And we just made this a cool place to be. And the camp counselors kind of served them. So, you know, they were babysitters basically, but we hired them differently. We had different expectations of them, and they had different expectations of the kids. And then we asked, like, what's going to make this place great? So then we got the playground equipment. We got a slack line and an obstacle course. And, you know, we just really figured out what's going to make sense for this period and beyond. You know, it's still serving us. But then also things like I've done the Miracle Morning every single morning since November of 2015, which I still can't believe I do. So it's a book, which I highly recommend. It's like super short, but basically you get up before everybody else to do a couple of things to really ground yourself. I've changed what are the things that I do, but I'm committed to the idea of getting up before everybody else so that I can step into who I most need to be for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Hal Elrod, I would recommend his book because he has a formula. It's like a framework. So I can't remember it's
Savers.
Savers. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Scribe to journal. But it's a simple framework, and I used it religiously until I kind of found my, you know, my own rhythm. But that's a key piece, just so that when the kids' alarms go off, like where I'm just ready and I'm not like yelling at the kids. I'm usually just in a really great mood by that point. Now we'll see. Life is about to change. My son's in middle school and my daughter's in elementary school. We're like 3 days in on that. So his whole life starts an hour earlier than hers does. So I don't know exactly how mornings are going to go, but really just looking at each chunk of time. So there's kind of like that before everybody wakes up time, that before the bus, school bus time, how I manage. I really try to make my work happen school bus to school bus. And then, you know, the afternoon time, I would say through dinner. And then there are many times where I'm going to go back to work after the kids are in bed, although it gets harder as the kids get up, grow up. At each stage of the business and of the kids, you want to be able to ask yourself, like, what is most important right here, right now? And that's going to change certainly with each season, certainly as with different ages. But asking, my kids are super independent. They both can, you know, cook. They both do the laundry. They, you know, we have responsibilities that make all of this work. But those would be the main things I would say is systems that are super personal to what you need and what your kids need.
Yeah. What I see a pattern is that you are good at making things fun. So you do it with people with their businesses, and you did it with your kids. Like, not many kids would say, you know, the pandemic was more fun. Like, I mean, a lot of kids like to go to school. I mean, if they're well, I think, connected with their friends and they enjoy learning, you know, school is they like that. And they like the structure, I think. And so a lot of them, the pandemic was like horrible. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of problems, you know, with mental health because of that. But here you've got these two kids and I was like, camp, 2 years of camp. That's awesome.
And it was, you know, I mean, like, certainly there are times where it all fell apart. But for the most part, I would say we did really well. We were home together for 52 weeks, just us, you know, and that was amazing. You know, I also consider it a blessing. Like, how many generations got to spend that much time with their kids? You know, like, that's never happened and probably won't again for quite a long time, you know? So I do consider it a blessing. And so we had to just kind of keep reframing. So how is this a blessing? Because right now it's not feeling it, you know, and to kind of bring it back to what do we need to do to make this lighter or easier or, you know, whatever the thing is that we needed at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So what would you say as we wrap things up? So, you know, I love to talk, you know, not your average grandma and not your average lives. And you made some not your average choices. So how are you today living a not your average life? How are you exemplifying that?
That's a great question. I would like to ask that question of me regularly, actually. But right now I would say I am fully owning my life. In the past, I've always chosen based on what I thought was going to be best for me and those around me. But I really beat myself up over it a lot of the times for years. And now I feel like I'm going to make the best decision that I can in this moment. And then we're going to own that as the best decision that can be made, you know, and that's been a big game changer. And
I what caused that shift? What helped you to shift into that way of thinking?
For years I talked about the idea of being the black sheep. And over the time, people were like, do you really want to, you know, use that as your framework? And I couldn't see any other way of seeing. I was like, but I am. Like, that's, I've made these choices. And then I don't know really what, but I feel like I just woke up and like, no one here has to be the black sheep, except that you're putting that label. Like, that's my choice at this point. Like, definitely, my father will still introduce me to anybody he meets as the black sheep with love, but certainly does.
Wow. I thought you just did it. I thought you named yourself that.
No, I have this great sir. My parents are amazing people, and they were recognized at their local hospital for all the work that they've done. And they had a big gala, and I was talking to a woman who I never met before who loves my parents. And I said, oh, you know, but I'm the black sheep in the family. She's like, oh my goodness, your parents would never say that. I'm like, okay, wait like 40 minutes. He gets up, my dad gets up, gives this great speech in front of whatever, a couple hundred people, and introduces our family and introduces me to the entire gala as the black sheep in the family. Like, but he does it with love. I can't even tell you, like, he loves that I'm quirky. He loves that I've made this my own choices.
Yeah.
But they also worry about me because I chose wrong, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's embracing the black sheep. It's not like it's changing the definition of the black sheep. You know, it's like, it's not from one that is odd and different and makes the wrong choices. It's the beautiful one that stands out and is unique and special. You know, I think of that.
Well, I think it's still odd and special, you know, like I am certainly, you know, they were quirky decisions, especially given the framework that I was working within. But I no longer think they're wrong. And that's why I've kind of put that black sheep to rest to say they weren't wrong decisions. They were really the best decisions that I could make, knowing that I was supposed to be building this life in order to serve these other quirky, don't square pegs and round holes people, you know, and that's where I get to stand and do it in a way that's not really done, you know, that where we get to talk about where's the money that you're leaving on the table? And should you really be charging that little, you know, like I get to ask questions that don't normally get asked.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. So one of the things I was just thinking is, do you have a new archetype that you have developed?
I've been saying, and it's not new, but it's the entrepreneur, you know, like I just want to, and I want to give that more definition. Because for a while, I stepped away from being the entrepreneur. I was like, no, I'm a business owner. And I want it to be this like, this idea of like, almost like a brick and mortar without the brick and mortar, right? And like, but no, I love that the entrepreneur to me is that you created this concept out of nothing and you're raising it up to serve the public good in a very unique way for profit. You know, and so that's, I want all of us to be able, us, particularly these online service providers who are out there doing work and are belittling the work that they're doing. Like, no, let's own this world. I truly think entrepreneurs are going to be a big part of this shift that I think is happening in the world. If we make good money, like you get to decide what to do with that money. Like, imagine what we could as a force then do for the world. Like we would make different political decisions. We would make different choices about how our community gets funded. And I would get to be in control of that. Like I want to do that for lots and lots of people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great. Well, the reason why I asked her this question is because our coach takes us through this archetype exercise. And I teach that to my students because it was so powerful for me. So I just want to tell you what mine is.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what, when we did this, I realized Beyonce has an archetype. or a persona. You can call it a persona, but Beyonce is Sasha Fierce.
Yes.
So she steps into Sasha, because who would you think Beyonce is actually afraid to stand up in front of an audience? She's shy. And she had to create this persona, and then she like steps into that. And it's like, it's not faking it. It's like living to your limitless potential is what that creating that archetype is. And so mine is Phenama Llama Corn, Lori. Phenama Llama Corn. And it was Phenama Llama, but somebody told me llamas were mean and that they spit on you at a retreat, seriously. And so I was like, well, llamas to me are like hungry, curious, you know, so there's other good adjectives. But anyways, so I love unicorns. And so I thought, it's going to be a combination llama and unicorn. Oh, and do you know that if you Google that, it's a thing there. I found a t-shirt that said llama corn.
Nice. Yeah. I was thinking you needed like a picture like of this. Llama corn. So that's awesome. I totally think you should own that.
Yeah. So the point is to the listeners, if you are feeling fear, or if you are feeling less than, or you feeling like, you know, limited in some way, if you have a persona of something like you, or you admire somebody and you want to be like that person, write down their characteristics they have, write down, and you can step into that. You can choose to step into that. And sometimes like when you have a persona, it's like, you know, you think, okay, what would Phenama Llama Corn Lori do at this moment? What would Sasha Fierce, what would she do? You know? And so it's easier because you are that person, you know, it's just a role. We can step into different roles like mom and entrepreneur and, you know, dog mom and all the things. So, yeah.
So two things to that. One, I think I often have a hard time with picturing what I call a Veronica Moxie is the name. I didn't realize what you specifically.
Yeah, yeah. Veronica Moxie. I like Moxie. That's good.
Right. But I have a hard time sometimes picturing what she would do when I'm like in the state of flux. Right. So sometimes I find it helpful just to try to get myself to tell a Veronica Moxie story. Doesn't have to relate to this particular event because I'm still mixed up about it. So I can just tell a fun story to myself about her just doing something brazen and, you know, out of the ordinary. And usually that is, it doesn't have to be that big is what I'm saying. Like even that small thing can kind of help right the ship for me.
Now, is that a made up story or is it a story that something you actually did that was.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
I don't do that as much. I probably could because I do think that I've done some pretty brazen things.
Yeah.
But no, I usually just say, just come up with something fantastical.
Yeah, I love that.
What's that? Yeah. It
reminds me of that movie. My grandkids love the movie with Adam Sandler, where he tells bedtime. I think it's called Bedtime Stories.
I think it's called Bedtime Stories. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like similar to that. But
yeah, exactly.
You're doing a great job of stepping out of that black sheep and into a new persona. So I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think that really is the key is like just make the choice and then own it fully that it is the best and only choice for you.
Yes. And to close, I just want to mention Jen is doing a free training. So this is just coincidentally, the universe delivered her to me at the time when she's getting ready to do her free training. And when this airs, she'll have, there's a link in the show notes and you need, there's a timeline. It's like the cutoff is soon. I think the training you can access on her website, which is jenkleinclark.com. No E on the Clark?
No E on the Clark.
Okay. Jen Klein Clark. And it's Klein with a K. And so that's, like I said, that's going to be in the show notes, but if you don't know how to get the show notes, it's super easy. Jen Klein Clark. Do our free training. What is the free training?
So it's your roadmap for profit. I'll probably work on that this week, but basically what are the choices that you can make? It just making it much more personal. You're more likely to hit your profit goals than if you just try to follow a cookie cutter formula.
Okay. So this is really for people who have businesses and they're just not where they want to be.
Yeah.
This sounds like the right people for it. All right. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Lori. Thank you so much. That was great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.